Can I get a show of hands and hands up who got all three? Okay, great. Okay, so there's a bit of a trick. There's a trick to the last bit. Once you know that, that's fine. So very quickly, I'll go through the answer one for A, and then. Okay, we have
great.
Oh, great. Thank you. I can relax now.
Yeah.
Okay, so very quickly answer A. So we can plot this, represent number u, 4 plus 2i on a diagram, real imaginary plane, 4i, 2i, 1, 2, 3, 4. And so instead of representing u by the analog of Cartesian coordinates, we'd like to represent it by and theta. So what we'll do, we need to find the r and the theta. R is this distance here. Theta is the angle around. So all we do is just go back to trigonometry. Just simple trigonometry to find r and theta. So okay, so find R first by Pythagoras' rule. We know that we call this for adjacent. Over for opposite, using Michael's notation, adjacent squared plus, of course, a right angle in there. Equals r squared. Therefore, r squared equals 4 squared plus 2 squared equals 20. Therefore, r squared 20 equals 2 root 5. Okay, so that's the value for the r coordinate, the theta coordinate. We know that's value, we know the opposite, we know the adjacent, tan is opposite over adjacent. So tan theta equals 2 divided by 4, which equals a half. So we get out our calculators, find out what, yep. Great, thank you. 26.6 degrees, or it's 4.464 radians. So exactly the same thing. What we're tending to do is just make it prominent. We'll tend to use radians. So that's the value of theta. So, remember, if we're representing, if we put the r and the theta have it together, if we're representing something in polar coordinates, it's the r and the theta are there, so just plug it in. Okay, 0.464. Okay, so we have B here. So hands up who, so it looks like about, hands up who got that. Okay. Or think they have got it. Actually, hands up who Hands up again, just to show of hands who thinks they have the right answer for C. Okay. So, actually, if you could just keep your hands up and just make a note of who that is. So that's about half the people have it, half the people don't. So what I would like you to do now, so we're going to go... So I guess the answer to B and C are very similar. So if you find out the answer, really they're essentially the same problem. It's just, I mean, the only difference is the number here. So we're actually going to skip straight to C. So once you see the answer to C, you get the answer to B. So what I'd like you to do, so if you do have the answer, what I'd like you to do in a minute now is explain it to someone around you that doesn't have the answer. And if you don't have the answer, thank you. If you don't have the answer, what I'd like you to do is find someone that does have the answer, or thinks they have the answer, and then have them explain it to you. Make sense? Okay. Okay, is there anyone that doesn't have the answer still looking for someone? Okay, down there.
I'm going to take it off you. 65 to the power of 103 is not very, I don't know what this.
Right, it's 65,003. So it's incredibly, incredibly large number.
You can write it as 10 to the power of something. It's not very hard to do this.
Right, yeah, you could, but we'll just leave it like this for the moment. Yeah. Okay, so these are the answers we have here. Does anyone want me to go through? Is everyone happy with those answers, having gone through that?
Yes.
Yeah.
You okay? Okay, if you have any questions, you need to
be nobody by nobody expected that.
I did.
I started to do the beep, just double check the answers, and I gave up.
Okay, we will, so we had the other problem proving that...
Hey,
you
got me.
Proof. So what I'll do now is I'll go through one way of getting the proof. There are probably multiple, but undoubtedly there'd be multiple ways of doing it. I'll just go through one way now. You mentioned something about a Toblerone chocolate bar, which I happened to bring. What we'll do, so hands up who feels they've got a proof to get something. Okay, so there's a few people. So what it will take a while, and you're kind of too tedious, and there's too many people, so what I should say is fantastic, so great that you did that. So kind of wouldn't really work if we went through everyone's proofs, because that would take a little while in front of the class. So maybe if you could see... if you can see me at the break, and then what we'll do is I'll have a look at those, and then what I said we do is we'll put all the proofs, see if any, and put all the successful ones into the names of people that have them into a little drawer or something, and we'll draw out one Toblerone winner from that. Did anyone find out why we chose Toblerone?
Because you guys like chocolate.
That's true. There could have been a Cadbury chocolate bar or a Mars bar.
It's your favorite.
Yes.
Is it your reflex?
No. Yeah.
For some weird mathematical reason.
This is not really. No. Does anyone. Yes.
It's your favorite.
Cheap.
Yes.
One of your CEOs invented the problem.
Oh, nice, okay, that's the end. Okay, one more, yeah.
Einstein found the patent to this, didn't he?
Close, but almost.
He was also a spin drop.
Yeah, so before Einstein became a theoretical physicist, he worked as a patent clerk in the patent office in 1905. And so people would come in with all kinds of inventions and designs, and if they're original, he would approve them and do the patent on them. So Einstein actually did the paperwork for the patent of the Toblerone chocolate bar, so I guess the shape and the design, and maybe the logo or something like that. So that was the reason. Okay. Okay, so what I'm going to go through now is one way of doing it. This is probably the most straightforward way. And I'll just say it's the only way. So we're going to use some background knowledge. So essentially this is using power series. So well-known power series expansions of sine theta and cos theta. And they're using, some of you will have seen them before, some won't. They're very, very useful. So they're not really obvious, but at least for small angles, we can get an idea of them. So what they are, so for very small values of theta, really small angles, so theta is much less than 1. So if we get, so theta is a really, really tiny number. Is that all right? Something not clear? Okay, so if, I'll just put, so if theta is much less than 1, if you square a number much less than 1, you get something really tiny. If you take 4th power, 6th power, and so forth, you get smaller and smaller numbers. So these will be very much less than 1, that will be very much less than 1. So for small values of theta, 1, so this power series is approximately equal to 1. And so we know that cos 0 equals 1, so we have a match there. So this is just trying to give you an idea of why these are reasonable to have a power series. So very, very small angles we know cos theta, but sort of starts off down here and goes down to there and back up pi over 2 like that. So up here it's around about 1. If we calculate that power series for four small values of theta, it's approximately 1, 2. So they match. So at least in that region, it's all right. And similarly for sine theta, when that is very, very small, then the cubic term, the fifth term, the seventh term, those powers, they'll be much, much smaller than the one, the linear term here. So sine theta is approximately equal to theta, is what the formula is saying, and that makes sense. It makes sense just from the trivial point of view in the limit that we know sine of 0 equals 0, which is what this formula does give. But also, you may have known this is another approximation that sine theta is actually approximately equal to theta, something you can test, and actually something you get out from the power series. So at least we see for small angles, really small angles, that these are reasonable values or reasonable power series, and actually do extend on even further. So, okay. So we can express this as a summation notation, I think you've seen from Michael before, and that just means we have sort of a sum. So if we have sum from I equals 0 to 5, what that means, we just add up the numbers I, where I runs from 0 to 5, so that would be 0 plus 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5. So that's really just defining what this summation notation is. So it's just a compact way of representing a sum. And we have the sum here, so we can actually represent that as a sum. And the way to do that is, we notice we have all the even powers. So we can think of 1, so we have 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, etc., etc. And we think of 1 as coming from power 0, because if you take anything to the power 0, you get 1. So we have, you can think of this kind of compactly representing this, all these terms here as sums in summation notation. So I guess this is like going back to this more compact notation. Obviously, it's a lot simpler. So we can actually just represent this sum. Of 0 to etc. We go up forever, up to infinity. And what do we put on the denominator? So I'll just make sure that's, these are all factorials here. So we have whatever the power is, but we have a factorial and denominator. So we have this fraction here. We have n factorial and denominator. And we have whatever the power is raised, whatever the power is, we have that in the exponent. And then we have theta to that power, but we also have sometimes plus sign and sometimes a minus sign. So we've got everything else, we just need to account for that. And so what we want is we want minus 1 raised to various powers. But turns out if we put this in here, then alternately that gives us plus 1. That will give us alternately plus 1, minus 1, plus 1, minus 1. And that will actually give us the right values for the signs here. It's not, just look at the first couple of values. So when n is n equals 0, so that's just minus 1 to 0, which is plus 1, which is what we want, because we just want to get 1 here. And so n equals 2, n equals 2, so again, we have n even numbers in the sum, so we're skipping 1. So we go n equals 2, so we have 2 divided by 2, which gives us 1. So we have minus 1 to the power 1, which is just minus 1. So actually that gives us the minus sign here. And the next one we have 4 divided by 2, which is minus 1 squared, which is plus 1, then we go 6, and etc. So that gives us the right value there. So that's in the cosine of theta. So, but what we can do is we can take minus 1 to the n divided by 2, and that's equal to minus 1 to the half, and then all to the power n, which is actually equal to the square root of minus 1, or time, if we know the square root of minus 1 is I, so put I in there, it's I to the n. So therefore, cos theta equals so that's one result. We're going to do a very similar thing for sine now. So taking the power series for sine, we have what we have. We have theta minus theta cubed divided by factorial plus etc. So we want to represent that compactly as a sum. So we have all the even powers, well, now we have all the odd powers. So n 1, 3, 5, etc. So again, we have the factorial on the bottom, so we have n factorial here. So we have theta to the power n. So we have that there, but again, we've got the plus signs and the minus signs, alternating plus and minus signs. So what we want to do is somehow to really do a similar trick as we did before, get minus 1 and raise that to various powers so that it comes out to be alternatively minus 1, plus 1, minus 1, plus 1, and it actually gives us the right sequence of signs here. So this is what we're looking for, and so if we have, so we had n divided by 2 before, and that worked out, but it's not really going to work out, because we're looking for, we want this value here to be an even number, the numerator here to be an even number, because then we're going to divide by 2, and we want the result to be a whole number, so we need an even number to divide that by 2 to get a whole number, or an integer. So we need, these are always odd numbers, so we need to say add 1 or subtract 1 from each n value, which will go from an odd number to an even number, and we divide that by 2, we'll actually get an integer. So so you can try both ways, and only one of them works out. And so let's try this. We have, we can try that. Look at the case of n equals 1, n equals 3, n equals 5. This gives us 1 minus 1, which is 0. Divided by 2, so it gives us minus 1 to the 0, which is equal to 1, which is what we're after there. In this case, we have n equals 3, 3 minus 1 is 2, 2 divided by 2 gives us 1, and it's minus 1 to the 1, which gives us minus 1. And the next case, 5 minus 1 is 4, divided by 2 gives us 2, so it's minus 1 squared, which gives us plus 1. So we have this pattern, minus 1, plus 1. Plus 1, minus 1, plus 1, which is exactly, I guess we should put a plus there, plus, minus, plus, and if you continue on, you actually get the right pattern of results. So this is equal to sine. Sine theta, and what we can do is do a similar trick to what we did before up here. So we have n minus 1 over 2.
Would putting plus 1 reverse the order?
Sorry?
Would putting plus 1 reverse the order of plus minus?
Yes, yeah, that would, yeah, good point, yeah. So, okay, that would, so we can express that as minus 1 to the half, and then n minus 1 there. So minus 1 to the half, that's just pi n minus 1. So, but that's obviously equal to I power n, I minus 1, which is equal to I to the n divided by I here. So what we end up with is, here, this, we had I to the minus 1 out front. We can change that into a minus I, and then we had n factorial, and then power n, we have theta, and we have I to the power n, just as we had before, so we'll represent that. Here. So, oops. Like that there. So what we're going to, so I told you those two well-known results, and there's also another well-known result for the power series for e x with 1 plus theta, which is n factorial like that. So we can already see that we can represent e to the x as a power series. We've got sine and cos, cosine, we represent it as power series. So on the left-hand side, we have the power series. And the right-hand side, we have two power series, so the most obvious thing is just to do to make sure that they match up. And the interesting thing is this goes for all numbers, sort of all integers, and zero, all integers from 0, 1, 2, 3, etc. And we have all the even ones for cosine, and all the odd ones for sine, so we're almost there. So if we take this expression here, and that expression there, and yes, Thomas. Sure.
No.
Right. Okay. Therefore, cosine putting this result in here, and this result up there, in there, what we end up with is, and I'll just put even because it's, well, actually no, 0, 2, 4. So essentially you can see we're basically there. Now, and then, okay, so the only bit we have minus I, we have the plus I, and then we have the minus I up front here, and the even value. Does anyone remember what minus I and plus I is? Product multiplied together?
One.
Yeah. Exactly. So we can just get rid of them. So we have plus, and then okay. N factorial. And so we have all the odds and we have all the evens. And so n, but that's exactly the same as what we had before. The only difference is with this power series, we had x being replaced by I theta. So if we have x replacing I theta, we have to put, instead of x here, I theta up the top. So that's equal to e instead of x, I theta, and that's the result. Did anyone get something roughly along those lines? Okay. Okay, good. Good. Okay. So those of you again, if Michael and I decide that none of the proofs are correct, then we get to keep the Toblerone chocolate bar and that.
What do you have to do?
I don't know, I just, well, I think
you decided not to keep the good because
I'm just going to spare one just in case.
Just in case you want to do it, like, four
times. I don't know, just in case. Just in case. Okay, so, for real time?
It was.
Okay. Sorry. Okay, yes.
Would physicists still be proud of the Toblerone if it tasted like that?
Would physicists still be proud of the Toblerone? That's a very difficult question to answer. Maybe you could ask all the scientists you meet here that question. I would still be proud of it personally because it's Einstein.
Well, no, the answer is no because there's so many things that Einstein didn't have that you guys couldn't give a crap about. That tastes good, we don't.
That's a good point. Now, I'm proud of every single one of Einstein's patents. This is getting off the topic. Okay, so this ends the lecture part. So for the rest of about 3 hours, So as I said before, calculus is incredibly important. And some of you, so one of the mentoring sessions, some of our researchers, is on black holes and space and time, around black holes, space-time metric. And so some of you will be in that group, and that group absolutely, I know from the last camp, that does use calculus. You need calculus to do that. You need calculus to understand black holes. Mm-hmm. And come next week for Michael's presentation on black holes, calculus undoubtedly will help there. So because of that, and basically every other presentation that you'll see, I'll be using calculus in my presentations. We have a calculus tutorial. So this will be more kind of informal. So Michael has a series of questions. And we're going to hand these out now.
Yep, and we'll do that.
We have enough for everyone?
I believe. I did about 600 copies.
Okay.
Perfect. And sorry, I say there's about 9 questions. That's all. That's 9. 3 levels. Starts beginning. Just work your way through. Help each other out. We'll be floating around, not a contest, who gets done first. The idea is to try to block it as you go through. Okay? And you'll learn something. And I've got solutions with just kind of so they can come around and talk as well.
Right? These are, shall we do these for you?
Yeah,